Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another edition of The Mandatory Live. Remember, if you like the content, hit that like and subscribe button. Also follow us on our social media channels. We're at The Mandatory TKO, and we're also on the audio side. So wherever you get your shows, podcasts, you can find us there as well. And if you got a couple of minutes, leave a rate and review. Give us a 5-star because that helps the channel grow. And shout out to everyone that's already been rocking with us. We do appreciate you. We see some people there on the live now. With that being said, remember, this is an interactive show. If you got comments, drop them. We will get to your comments. And if you're watching this after, we still get your comments, so drop them too because we will be reading them. Keep in mind, we don't always like get back to the comments, but we see all of them. Okay, we definitely see all of the comments, and we are trying to get better, Brian.
Including the dickhead ones. We see those too.
Yeah, I had responded back to, I had seen all the nice messages, and I saw one mean message, and I was like, you know what, at the time today, I forget who it was, but I ended up just sending Yo Mama back, so.
You could tell who's really locked into the show and who isn't. Just in general. But thank you to the continued support of the people who loyally listen. We appreciate it. If we teach you guys to continue growing what we're doing. And also the show is growing. We're almost at 2,500 subscribers. Would like to see some of the other things that we're doing on the channel match that. So continue to do what you do. And we're going to talk about this car that Jesus drops in the comments that nobody cares about. I think people care about this, Jesus. I'm going to disagree with you. As someone who was at the media workout and as someone who's going to be at the fight, everyone cares about a tank fight. I think people just want more out of his opponent, but we'll talk about that.
You know what? I actually think this is a sneaky good fight. Like, I know how it's going to end or how I think it's going to end.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's a very sneaky good fight and we're going to be entertained. And Brian, we'll probably get into the card a little bit later in terms of the undercard, but this is probably a fight where I feel like people weren't really happy with the fact that he was fighting Lamont Roach. Remember, keep in mind, guys, that Lamont Roach is coming up from 130 pounds to fight Tank Davis at 135 pounds, but he is a champion. And Brian, you know, taking a look at the odds, forget the odds. Let's just start off by talking about the fact that people didn't really want this fight. Like, people wanted Tank and Shakur or Tank and Loma. Loma ended up being like, I'm going to take some time off, as he should. He can, but you know, Tank wasn't the one that was like, I don't want that fight. When you heard about this fight and going into it now, you talked about how people care, how you care. Your thoughts though on him fighting Lamont Roach?
Yeah, I was fine with it as a stay busy fight conceptually before this really got going, in terms of like this being in November, December of last year, whenever it was first rumored. And then there was a hiccup and it had to get pushed back. And then at that point, I was like, all right, can't Tank just fight somebody else? But this seems to be still a stay busy fight. At least it's being treated like that. We'll see. A DT leaves in the comments, actually, Tank saying he wants to fight three fights this year. I think a lot of guys say that. I do think Tank actually wants to do that, given that he's putting out there that he wants to retire. And for some reason, I kind of take this a little more sincerely than I do the average boxer who says they want to retire at a specific age. Like, he doesn't seem like he wants to do this for very long. He's talked about wanting to, like, get into therapy and work on himself, but he feels like he can't do that as a professional boxer because then he'll lose his edge, which sounds kind of crazy if you don't really follow boxing like that. But if you do, I think you kind of get it, especially seeing as how, like, Deontay Wilder became, like, happy and shit, and his career went down the drain. And it's fucked up. But, like, yo, if you're like an Eminem fan, you know that his best.
No, let's switch it. Let's switch it. If you're a Joe Budden fan when he was rapping, right? You liked Mute Music, right? You loved that. And then when he was, like, happy with Sin, he was putting out, like, good, like, happy music, and I did not like it. I was like, what is this?
Like, you know, like, listen, maybe in order for you and I to truly blow up, because we've done some very good things in our media career, like, legitimately gotten to some very great places early on. But at the same time, if you and I probably need to, like, do drugs to legitimately blow up. It's crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably something like that. But it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, when you're kind of at your worst, you might put out your best stuff. Right.
I don't know. I want to listen. But to take it back to Tank before I get too far off topic. I like the fight in terms of it being a stay busy fight. If it's a stay busy fight, like, if you tell me Tank is gonna fight Shakur in June, July, August, like, this summer, cool. If Tank after this turns around and fights somebody else who's not at the level that we want, because I think Tank has a fine resume, but you want more elite fighters on his resume. Like, he's beating some good names, he's beating some good fighters, some underrated fighters, but I need to see Shakur Stevenson there. I need to see, to a lesser degree, a Vasily Lomachenko level fighter there. You know, is Keyshawn Davis, I don't think that's going to happen, but is that going to be somebody who's there? Like, I want to see somebody better than Lamont Roach, no disrespect. And I think Lamont Roach is good, is underrated, he's a champion, but Tank is minus 2,000, and I totally get it because Lamont Roach barely beat Hector Luis Garcia, who Tank, he wasn't dominating that fight by any means, but the tide was turning by the time he got the stoppage, and then Hector Luis Garcia said he couldn't see anymore out of one of his eyes, and then the fight was done. So
I think, yeah, the fight to make is Tank and Shakur. That's probably the best fight you can make in boxing, but that's also why I feel like it might not happen. Because sometimes we don't get what we want. Now, I also think sometimes it's the business side, but I would love to see Tank fight three times a year. Like I said, sometimes it's the business that gets in the way. But Lamont Roach is actually a sneaky good fighter. Like, he's going to make things interesting. And I actually really like this fight because, you know, two guys from the DMV area, it's at the Barclays. I think it's perfect where it's set up. And I think it's going to be entertaining. I think Lamont Roach is actually going to give us a good show. You mentioned Hector Luis Garcia. I thought he fought pretty decently until that eye injury against Tank. I thought Rolly Romero, I had him up on the cards against Tank because Tank can fall behind sometimes until, you know, Tank Davis lands a shot. Even Ryan Garcia had some moments against Tank Davis before he took that liver shot. So
less than the other two guys, but yes.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Lamont Roach, very technical. Let's get right into it, Brian. And you mentioned the line. And Gervonta Tank Davis is obviously a huge favorite in this one. I'm actually going to pull it up from a prominent sports book. Let's see if the lines have moved. Nope, Brian is right. So Gervonta Tank Davis is a minus 2,000 straight up on the money line. And Lamont Roach is a plus 900. If you're thinking Lamont can get it done, plus 900, some great value there. But Brian, let's break down the fight. How do you see this one going? And with odds like that, how are you going to be betting this one?
I'm seeing plus 1040 in another book for Lamont Roach with Tank still at minus 2,000. It's very interesting. It's getting harder and harder to beat the books these days. But that's betting by design. And then we'll put up some comments. I also want to mention real quick before I get into how I'm betting this fight. In terms of, like, other fights that Tank could have, I just found it really funny looking at the WBA rankings right now. There's no rated number one right now. Floyd Schofield is number two.
No, I saw that. I saw that he had posted that just the other day on his social media. And I was like, interesting. I could see it. He's trying to market himself. Okay.
I think the odds would be kind of similar. Andy Cruz is number three. I'd much rather see Andy Cruz against Tank. I think Tank beats either guy. And then
very
it gets
interesting
dark.
Fight, though. Very interesting
dark.
Fight.
It gets dark from there. Edwin De Los Santos, Maxi Hughes, light heavyweight. Lightweight is a good weight class, but it's top heavy. Because once you get past the elite guys, then it kind of falls off a cliff. Anyway, I took Tank to win by knockout, technical knockout between round 7 through 12, which he has done a few straight times, which I got at plus 100 at one particular book. At the same time, it was minus 130 on another. This was 2 days ago. The line has since moved a little bit, so it's not going to be plus money anymore. Tank tends to get these stoppages in the second half of the fights, at least lately. And I think Lamont Roach is going to be competitive early on, and then Tank's pressure will get to him, and it'll be some of the same things that we've seen in other Tank fights, where he'll give you the early portion of the fight, then he'll start to figure you out. He'll figure out some counters. He'll figure out counters to your counters. Like, he's very good at making adjustments on the fly. He has an underrated ring IQ, and he's able to box you in and make you fight the fight that he wants to fight. So I think Tank eventually gets to him in that second half of the fight, probably early in the second half of the fight. I was also looking at 5-8. I just like a little bit more of the security between 7-12. But I mean, to be honest with you, I think I could be wrong in the sense that if you told me, hey, Tank actually just catches him early, I wouldn't be too super surprised by that. He caught Rowley in round 6. If you caught Lamont Roach in like 4-5, like, I wouldn't be too stunned by that. I feel a little bit more safe with that 7-12 range because Tank, like, just the way he's been fighting lately and the way he's been breaking guys down and figuring them out, he tends to really kick it into gear in the middle of the fight. And then he starts really taking over by that 6-7 range. And then it's curtains from there. So I think it'll follow the same trend. And ultimately, I think Tank gets it done with another stoppage.
Yeah, it's hard not to go with Tank when you've seen everything that he's done so far in his career. As for Lamont Roach, let's start off with him, because I do feel like even though you take a look at his record and you see his opponents and you've seen the way that he fights, he's very technical. I feel like he has a good jab. I feel like he's a decent counter puncher. I do feel like there is a little bit of pop on his punches. Like, he's not knocking dudes out cold or, you know, has this crazy knockout streak, but he does have a little pop to his power. And I think that's why he's going to make it a little bit interesting. I think he has to get off to an early start in this fight. Because, as you know, for Tank, he doesn't throw a lot. Sometimes it can be within the single digits if you look at the stats. But the one thing that he is accurate. He sets up his shots really well. The placement of his shots is crazy. And another thing about Tank is that when he is setting you up, you're going to also see Tank take some chances. Like, he's not afraid to take chances either. Now, Lamont Roach, where he really leaves himself open is when he throws the right hook. When he throws his right hook, he leaves himself crazy open. And I think that's where Tank might be able to do some damage by landing an uppercut, because that's bound to happen. When you're throwing like these looping wide shots and you're leaving yourself open, which Lamont Roach does tend to do, that's where Tank is going to find you. And this is going to be a very interesting fight, because I do feel like Lamont Roach is going to take a couple of chances in this fight, but technically he has to get off to a good start, because if he wants to make it through the whole entire fight, then he would have to start off early and win on the cards. And as you know, Tank's been down before on cards because he doesn't get started early. He doesn't throw as many punches, but when he does, it's accurate as hell. I don't actually think people give Tank enough credit for his skill. People always talk about his power, his showmanship. His skill is ridiculous. Like, that's why he's knocking out dudes. It's not because of the power, really. It is, but it's also like how he sets it up, how he reels you in, and where his placement is for the punches. Like, it's ridiculous. So for Lamont Roach, to be safe, because what we've seen from Tank in the past, he gets it done in the later rounds. So I like in round 7-12, which I looked at a prominent sports book, it was minus 110. However, I actually think there's a possibility, because Lamont Roach, the way he leaves himself open, and I feel like he's going to throw those looping wide shots and he's going to throw that right hook and he's going to leave himself open. I really like rounds 5-8. And I might bet on both of them. And to be honest with you, for some strange reason in my mind, I keep on thinking round seven, that Tank is going to get it done. But because Tank's like getting it done in his previous fights in the later rounds, I also looked at like 9 through 12, right? Which I feel like is, you know, a good betting staple. I think it was like a plus 162, if I'm not mistaken. But there is some value there. But I think he just gets it done, you know, past round six. I think Lamont Roach is going to be able to hang with him for a little while. And I think Tank is going to give us a show. Like, I don't think Tank is, I mean, if he gets the chance, he might be able to knock him out early. But I think Lamont Roach, I think we got to give him a little bit of credit there. These two guys know each other. You know, they fought each other when they were young. Of course, Tank's power is different now. I believe Tank won 3-2 when they were amateurs, if I'm not mistaken. But these two guys know each other pretty well. So I think it's actually pretty dope that Tank has given a guy like Lamont Roach a shot for this, right? Like, we also don't think about those things either. Like, he's given Lamont Roach an opportunity. And I think Lamont Roach, in terms of like what he's done press conference wise, has been great too. Like, he's also buying into it. I think this is a great fight. Drop your comments below, guys, on how you're going to be betting this. Brian and I both have Tank winning by knockout. We both like the later rounds. Drop your comments below. Let us know if you think that Lamont Roach can get it done against Tank, or if he's at least going to make it interesting. Brian, I feel like we should get to some of the comments now.
Yeah, just want to point out real quick. He got Frank Martin in 8. Ryan Garcia was round 7. Hector Luis Garcia was 9, technically. And then before that, Rolly Romero was 6. And then you have the Isaac Cruz decision, which was 12. Mario Barrios was 11, which was a little later than I remembered, but 11. It was also at 140, which Tank insists is not his best weight class. And Leo Santa Cruz was 6. And before that, Uriokas Gamboa was 12. So it's just a lot of second half, but there's a lot of 5 through 8 there. There's a good amount of 7 through 12 there, along with one decision where, let's face it, if he didn't get hurt against Isaac Cruz, I'm not sure if that fight goes to the cards either, given what we've learned about Isaac Cruz since. Okay. We have comments. Let's go to a bunch of them. DT, we're going to get to your Chris Eubank one later, because that is a fun. that's one of my favorite videos that I've seen in a minute, I got to say. They're building the shit out of that fight. But
with him and Conor Benn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even care. Like, for some reason, I thought I would. Sorry, this is not about Chris
Eubank. You know, but they're building that fight. Ring Magazine.
As they should.
Ring Magazine's building that fight because Ring Magazine has a vested interest in doing so. And because everyone's so locked into Ring Magazine right now because of their rebrand, they're going to draw a lot of interest. So people are going to be interested in this fight because of the way they're promoting it. And they're doing their job, honestly. I like the fight more when it was first announced, like 2.5 years ago, or however long it's been, a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm kind of just like, I mean, I think I like the fight, but I don't want to see the winner fight Canelo, which apparently is the plan.
I like the fight because of all the back and forth and then the history with their dads. Like, when you think about the storylines that go into it, I absolutely love it. But I do want to say one thing. Like, you know, sometimes I get on here and I'm not going to lie, sometimes I hate on the Turk thing. Like, I'm not going to lie, right? But I think Ring Magazine is doing a great job. Like, everything that they've done social media-wise, the presence, I love it. Like, they're doing a legit job. You know, I just don't agree with everything being in Saudi. That's my only thing. If we get Bud and Canelo in the States, as we should, then, you know, I'll be all right with it.
Changing my mind on that fight, by the way. I'll tell you why in a future conversation/show. Nerd says sources say Tank wants 105 champion Oscar Collazo next. I would hope not, but hey, jokes are always gonna fly here. Jesus, speaking of Tank, it's not retirement. PBC is Gonzo, RIP out of boxing. I don't think PBC is done. I do think that they could do better than Amazon. And he thinks his bout is going to be a snoozer. DT, Abdullah Mason will take over this division here soon.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about take over the division, but Abdullah Mason's good. Abdullah Mason, by the way, they announced, I think he's going to fight Gio Cabrera next.
That's a good fight. Like, yo, here's the thing, though. I think Abdullah Mason will take over the division, but when Tank's done.
If Tank is done this year,
I mean, Abdullah's coming, but he still has a lot more to prove. I think he's still in that range where it's like, last year we were wondering if he was still a prospect, right? Because he was like in that kind of phase where it's like, he's not a prospect. He kind of is. Kind of like Xander, right? Like, because the year previously, I think I had
at least Xander's fighting 10 rounders.
That's the thing.
Like, yeah, Abdullah Mason, I think this is going to be a 10 rounder finally. Like, and it's not to say he's not, like, he's ready, clearly.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think because he's so young, like, same thing with Xander.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
People are like, why isn't Xander doing this? Why isn't Xander doing that? And it's like, yo, I think Top Rank is just taking their time with dudes who are like really super young.
But let's not same time take too much time. Like, we don't want an Arnold Barbosa type of situation.
No,
where I think like 30 and like, you know, is now getting a title shot and then, you know, goes and beats Jack Catterall. Shout out to Barbosa.
we'll get through an episode without talking about Xander Zayas at some point. But yes. Abdullah Mason versus Keyshawn Davis 2026 or 2027.
Could you imagine? I don't know what I would do. Oh, hold up. Let's just shut up. When you donate to the show, you guys,
yes,
we shut up right away. Tyrone the Great, $5. Tyrone actually always donates to the show all of the time. So thank you, Tyrone, for being a good friend of the show, because Tyrone's been rocking with us, I think, from the beginning.
Literally.
From jump.
From the Lou DiBella interview, which I gotta get Lou back on here. We gotta do more interviews. Even though I love the show without them, but we do want to do more interviews.
Ryan actually did interview Jose Valenzuela. So if you haven't seen it, go on his channel and go check that out, because it's actually a really good interview.
Chantel couldn't be there. And then she actually told me, hey, do it for your channel. Yeah. Just so y'all know there ain't any beef.
We support each other.
Seriously. She's like, do it for your channel. And I'm like, are you sure? She's like,
yeah.
So Jose Valenzuela and I had like a 12-ish minute conversation that is out on my channel now. And he says he's the best at 140 and he wants to fight Teofimo Lopez after winning this fight. So we talked about it and you guys can see that. Tyrone, by the way, if you have a prediction, please leave it in the comments. TJ says tank for the win. I posted that. DT says, when is Loma gonna fight or give up that belt? It's interesting that you bring that up, because looks like Raymond Murataya is going to fight for the IBF interim title, mm-hmm, with the idea of, this is a report, with the idea of him fighting Lomachenko if he wins. I mean, the winner of the IBF title is what I should say. Interim title, fighting Lomachenko after. So
if I'm going to be honest, like, I was really high on Murataya and now I'm not. And I think Loma would beat him.
That fight will be against Zahra Abdullayev, who did he knock out again? Was it Roger Gutierrez? No, he beat him by decision. It was Juan Carrasco. That's who it was. So a lot of people probably don't know who he is. He's Russian. He hasn't fought in the U.S. at all, actually. But Raymond Murataya is going to be a favorite to win that fight. It's not a guarantee, though, but... And Jose Valenzuela actually told me he thinks Ray Murataya is like the most underrated guy in boxing right now.
Which underrated.
I was surprised by. Underrated, yeah.
Okay.
I was surprised by that.
But
I would
take his word on it, because I mean, he would know. But I mean, in terms of like, I was really high on Murataya, but I feel like I've kind of been a little bit let down, because I feel like he should be bigger at this point. So that's the only thing, that's the only gripe I have against him. But I wouldn't be mad at that.
By the way, Tank versus Murataya? That'd be great.
Hell yeah. Like, sign me up for that.
Like there's potential opponents here, but I just want Tank versus Shakur. Okay. But Loma, yeah. Loma has to fight this year or give up the belt. I mean, we both think Tank is gonna win. There's other fights on the card. We just brought up Jose Valenzuela. We might as well get into that fight now. He's fighting Gary Antoine Russell. This has been a pick'em fight basically all week.
50-50, man. 50-50.
And even though I interviewed Jose Valenzuela, I'm still like, listen, Gary Antoine Russell's not bad. Like, Valenzuela's like, yo, he's sloppy and shit. And I'm like, but Gary Antoine Russell's got power too. So I don't know. I want to lean Valenzuela because I trust his all around boxing ability. But what do you think about this?
I think Gary Antoine Russell is probably going to be, this is a tougher fight than Isaac Cruz. I hate to say it. Because Gary Anton Russell,
I won 40. Yes,
I think what he's done is underperformed. in his last couple of performances where you're like, whoa, this is not the Gary Antoine Russell that we're used to seeing. He's skilled. He has power. And I think he's going to make things difficult. He also knows how to fight on the inside. Now, Jose Valenzuela, I think what he has to do is just use his skill, keep his distance, and do kind of what he did against Pitbull Cruz, and he should be successful. It is kind of a 50-50 fight, but, you know, I'm going to roll with Valenzuela for this one. But if Gary Antoine Russell got it done, I wouldn't be surprised, but I just go based off what I've seen as of late. And Jose Valenzuela is not wrong. Like, Gary Antoine Russell has been underperforming and he has been sloppy. So I think if Jose Valenzuela can take advantage of those sloppy moments, and if Gary Antoine Russell doesn't get off to a hot start, this could be a very close fight. I think it could be a fight that's like 116, 112, 115, 113, but I think it goes the distance, and I don't think there's a knockout on this one.
I'm not sure it goes the distance. Both of these guys have power. I do think with Valenzuela, though, he's going to be trying to counterpunch his way to a victory here. I think ultimately, like, Gary Antoine Russell is going to try to push the pace, be the aggressor, win this fight from the inside. And I think Valenzuela is going to do a little bit of what we saw, because he is adaptable. Like, we saw him try to rough up Chris Colbert, who's somebody who wants to, you know, do the pretty boy boxing shit where he's counterpunching from a distance and he's showing you stylistically how he can be defensively and counterpunch. And Valenzuela just took it to him. And then he fought a completely different way against Isaac Cruz, where he's counterpunching, he's using his jab, he's using his range, he's hitting him from the outside, you know, clinching on the inside and making it uncomfortable for Isaac Cruz to get into what he wants to get to. So I think with Valenzuela, like, there's more pathways to victory here. He could also just get caught, and he's been stopped before by Edwin de los Santos. So I think the thing that with Gary Antoine Russell that worries me is just the inactivity. So he fights Alberto Pueyo last year, and I thought was a fight that was kind of set up for him to win. But even you and I before the fight were like, yo, Alberto Pueyo is pretty underrated. And he ends up losing that. Before that, he fought Ken Cruz, which was his first fight in 13 months and his only fight that year. In 2022, he fought twice. And really, since that fight against Rancis Barthelemy, which was a few summers ago already, we're talking about this is going to be his fourth fight in just under 3 years. And this is somebody who was a prospect not that long ago. He's 28 already. So that worries me a little bit. Whereas Ryo Valenzuela, at least, this will be his sixth fight in a three-year span. That's a little more activity. And in that span, like, he has two losses, one of which a lot of people would cry robbery about, the first Chris Colbert fight, and he avenged that. So you're on mute.
Sorry, my foot's also asleep, so I'm like, you know, it's crazy right now. Okay, like, I don't know what's going on with me right now. It's crazy right now. My foot's asleep, y'all. I will say one thing, though, for Gary Antoine Russell, like, the Russell brothers, they can all box and they're all really good. But let's also keep in mind that there was a death in their family, like, not too long ago. So yeah, maybe that has to do with the inactivity, because I know that Gary Antoine Russell, his brother started training him after. Yeah. Right. So the Russell family, like, just extremely talented. Jesus, most likely winner of Russell and Jose Valenzuela, like, it's a payday versus Tank next. That's a great fight. I just don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if Tank is going to go to 140.
I don't think he will.
You know, I mean, look, Ryo was a competitive. He was a contender at 135. I do wonder, because if you're PBC, this is probably one of the cards you have, like, in your back pocket. It's like, could you actually just make Tank fight the winner of this fight next? Which I think is a fight people would be more accepting of than this Lamont Roach fight by comparison. But I still think it's not, like, I think people want Shakur. People want Tank.
Yeah. And
Shakur. So
if we don't get Tank and Shakur, or Tank versus Loma,
yeah,
I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to continue to hate on Tank. And it's unfortunate, because it's crazy to me, because I look at Tank's resume and I think there's names on his resume. Like, I will argue you and say that there's names on his resume, but people will not give him credit for it, because there's not a Shakur on his resume. There's not a Loma. There's not a Teofimo Lopez. Like, they want him to fight the big guys. And, you know, as a boxing fan, I do as well. But I also think it's unfair to say that Tank hasn't fought anybody when there are names on the dude's resume. So that's my only gripe with it all, because I don't think people are giving Tank enough credit on a lot of things, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Nerd says Ryo's knocking out Gary Anton Russell. That would be very interesting.
I wonder what the odds are for that.
I will tell you right now, because listen, all week long, legitimately all week long, it's been like a damn near pick 'em. And at one particular sportsbook right now, Jarrett Hurd has moved from being the favorite to the underdog, which I found very interesting. But
I could see that.
but Jose Valenzuela by decision plus 170, by knockout, technical knockout plus 500. Gary Antoine Russell is almost flipped. By decision, plus 450. By knockout, technical knockout, plus 145. One particular book. So Jose Valenzuela by knockout is plus 500 if you want to put your money where your mouth is. We should talk about this. Tyrone says, I got...
Wait a minute. On one prominent sports book, Gary Antoine Russell is the favorite for this fight?
Yes.
That's crazy. The disrespect on this line.
2 days ago, I won book. Gary Antoine Russell was the favorite, and at another book, Jose Valenzuela was the favorite. Like, it's legitimately been like this all week long. It's been just going back and forth, both sides taking money. I don't know how many people are actually betting on this fight, but both sides are taking money. I haven't placed a bet for this fight, and I don't know if I will. Like, it's a tough one.
I think Jose Valenzuela gets it done by decision. I think there are some knockdowns in this fight. I think Jose Valenzuela could knock down Gary Antoine Russell Jr. Mm-hmm. I think that Gary Antoine Russell could knock down Jose. So I think it's going to be an interesting fight, to be honest. But this is a very, very good comment right here by Tyrone the Great. I'll let you take it, Brent.
Subriel Matias also fights this Saturday. He's going to be fighting in Puerto Rico. Since I'll be at the Tank fight, I'll probably like have to pull this up on my laptop and figure out if I could just watch both at the same time. Hopefully Subriel's before Tank goes, but we'll see. Subriel Matias is fighting Gabriel Golaz Valenzuela. This is in Puerto Rico, and this fight is to determine who's going to be, you know, more than likely fighting for a title next. I think the IBF at 140. So maybe this is a Richardson Hitchens Teofimo Lopez. If they do unify, maybe the winner of that gets Subriel Matias next, assuming he handles business. So Tyrone says he got Subriel Matias by knockout, Ryo decision, Sandor Martin by decision. He's fighting Alberto Pueyo. Sandor Martin is moving to be the favorite also. Favorite now.
Can I be honest? That's a sneaky good fight.
I think a lot of people are going to think it's boring.
No. But... okay, maybe we're nerds. Maybe I'm like, we're a bunch of nerds, but that's one of my favorite fights this weekend.
Oh, no, actually, no, I read that wrong. Alberto Pueyo has moved into being the favorite for this, because this has almost been a pick 'em too. Like, there's a couple of legitimate 50-50 fights on this card that are going to be on the main card, which you don't often get. So... Alberto Pueyo, yeah, it's a very narrow. I'm seeing minus 130, plus 105 for Sandor Martin. That's basically an over-under in the NBA. Tyrone also has Yoenis Teles by knockout, which, I mean, that should be the case. There's, like, PBC has also unveiled their full card. Jarrett Hurd is on it. Yoenis Teles, as I mentioned, is fighting J-Rock Williams. J-Rock Williams is making his return. Jarrett Hurd has a handlebar mustache now with the beard combination that looks weird. But, you know, we had him on the show before. So shout out to you, Jarrett Hurd, for keeping it going. He's fighting Johan Gonzalez. And the undercard has a bunch of prospects on it, many of whom are undefeated. And, it's going to be a fun card. I ain't getting there for all the prospects. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll get there early, but not that early.
Yeah. Shit. And also I'm telling you right now, don't ruin it for me, because I won't be able to watch it right away.
No post-fight show Saturday. No.
Yeah.
I may do a live on my channel Sunday morning if I have the energy. And if anything crazy happens, if it's just kind of standard protocol, then I might just sleep and we'll see. Because I'm going to get home at like 3. Like, I know how press conferences go.
When does the main event start? Like, the walkout's at like 8 o'clock Pacific time, so 11 Eastern time?
The main card is at 8. So I would say, yeah, Tank should probably be walking out 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific-ish, which means this will probably be done around midnight or a little bit before that, assuming he gets an early-ish stoppage, or a stoppage just before the final rounds. Yeah. And then the presser, who the fuck knows?
I'm going to try to make it in time for the main event, but I also want to see the full card. So this is actually, I shouldn't say that. I will be purchasing this fight so I can watch it on my own time. You know what I mean? Did we put Tyrone's comment up? I think this will be a good fight, but Tank is going to knock him out. Yeah, I agree, Tyrone. I think this is a legit fight. I think that Lamont Roach is going to give us a show with Tank, and these guys are going to put on something exciting for us to see. But I do think that Tank gets it done, sets him up, and lands a big shot and knocks him out. So, hey, you never know what could happen, though, because Lamont Roach does got a little bit of power, guys. Like, I'm telling you, he's got pop to his power.
Yo, he's working on, you know what, though? Like, even in the media workout, he's working on power shots. And I overheard somebody from his team talk about why that was, and basically saying, like, yeah, they think that they could knock out Tank. Like, they actually do. And I'm like, really? That's a strategy that you want to have for this fight?
I think that's the wrong strategy to go into this fight with.
You should be trying to hit Tank in between those power shots, like just jabs and straights and things of that nature. Like, why are you trying to go power for power with somebody who's above your weight class while you yourself have like 10 career knockouts? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So if that's a strategy, I think Tank could actually get him out of there earlier.
Well, that's because that's why I said when I feel like the gap will be closed and Lamont Roach is throwing hooks and trying to throw combos and he's leaving himself open, that's when I think Tank is going to be able to get it done. However, he was on the Breakfast Club this week, and he said that he doesn't believe that Tank was the hardest puncher that ever hit him. But again, Tank was like 15 at the time, so his power is going to be different. But he also believes that he has power as well, which as a boxer, like, you got to be pretty confident, and Lamont Roach is going into this confident. So it's definitely the wrong strategy, Tyrone the Great says right here. But we did say that was the wrong strategy for Tyson Fury to try to knock out Deontay Wilder.
Well, we weren't doing a show by then. I don't know if I would have said that.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things, though, Brian, where it's like, I think Lamont Roach has to stick with what he's good at, which is being a technical boxer. Like, I don't think he should try to do something that it's not natural. Like, I do believe there is pop to his punches, though. Like, he doesn't have devastating power, but the guy has some power. At least that's what I think.
He has one knockout in his last four fights against Feargold McCrory. And as we've learned, the McCrorys in boxing, none of them are elite, is what I'll say. Lamont Roach, I mean, and look, if you want to go power for power with Tank Davis, like, good luck to you. I don't think that's going to work. And that'll go against you. Just want to note also, on the Subriel Matias card, Nesta Bravo is on the card, which I'm excited about. Finally going to take a step up in competition. So the card itself, I don't think is going to interest a lot of people, but Nesta Bravo is a name to watch if he can get this done in impressive fashion.
Yeah, and Subriel Matias, his fight just kind of going underneath the radar. Let us know what fights you're going to be watching this weekend. Let us know who you have for Tank Davis, Lamont Roach. Do you believe in Lamont Roach's power? Who are you rolling with Jose Valenzuela and Gary Antoine Russell? Let us know. Drop your comments below. And if there's any other sneaky good fights that you're looking forward to, Brian, we said we were only going to hop on for like 20 minutes. We did like almost 40 minutes here.
Oh, wasn't going to happen. we're about to get off now, though. Yeah, for sure.
All right. So any final thoughts? You're going to be at the fight. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be, you know, putting up some content and all that stuff. Any final words before we get up and out of here?
We posted on this channel, Jose Valenzuela and Lamont Roach, just some things from Media Day, if you want to call it that. But Lamont Roach hitting the pad, so you could see what I'm talking about in terms of the emphasis on power and also the media scrum. The sound wasn't amazing just because it was so noisy, but it's Gleason's gym. And anytime there's media workout at Gleason's gym, it's always very noisy there. Because, like, duh, it's a boxing gym, a legendary one at that. And as somebody who hadn't been to Gleason's gym in a while, I was very excited to go back. Heather Hardy was there, actually, who we've had on here before. She is training now, so good to see. And, yeah, cool event. Other than that, on my channel, there's the Jose Valenzuela interview, as mentioned, and also some Gervonta Davis film study. so you can see just how he sort of breaks down his opponents and how he'll likely get to Lamont Roach, because Lamont Roach, I don't know if it could also be playing possum, Chantel. Like, it could just be, hey, I'm gonna go power for power, and then all we see are jabs and straights with the occasional body shot, you know, for the first like five rounds of the fight or something. Who knows?
We'll see. By the way, guys, if you like the content, hit that like and subscribe button. We'll be back early next week to give you some more content from the mandatory. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and thanks so much for joining us for this live show.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.